Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wished for something with all your heart, but didn't have the words or the vision to call it into existence? Don't feel like a lone ranger. There are countless souls wandering around aimlessly, looking for their missing pieces in life that will complete their big picture of living an abundant, radiant, and thriving life. Today, each and every person suffers from I.O., information overload. We are bombarded with never-ending words. However, I.O. leaves us asking, now what? Where do I go from here? Where do you go to consciously find your way, to receive the answers you desire, to improve your life, health status, your proper lifestyle, your family's health and welfare, is to the now what, where do I go from here? The Star Waters and Sandy Rogers Show, airing each Thursday from 2 to 3:30 p.m., is where you'll find your answers. Star and Sandy know how confusing it is having this expert or that health professional barking at you with their opinions of what they know you should be eating, which pill for every ill is just right for you, or what you should be thinking about the availability of your time when it comes to providing healthy food for you and your loved ones. When you are constantly convinced that you lack the time to prepare your own food made with ingredients you purposely add and know it is safe and nutritious, you are now being programmed to eat fast, eat processed, because you're too busy. Don't believe the hype. Together, these wellness advocates will provide cutting-edge information, straight no chasers, to educate you and give you the words and vision to ask the question, now what? Where do I go from here?
Happy Thursday, everybody. Greetings and welcome to Now What? Where do I go from here? So you've got your two incredible, lively moderators, Star Waters, who's also known as the Wellness Wizard, and myself, Sandy Rogers, a.k.a. the Wellness Gangster. Now, you know, we're pretty young, right? But together, we have 100 years plus of firsthand personal knowledge and firsthand personal experiences of reversing what most in the medical profession would call chronic or irreversible deadly diseases. And so we come from that background to share with you what we've learned on this journey. But before we get into our story, because we're delving into our stories today, we must do first things first. And so in that space, we give thanks to all ancestors. We thank the ancestors for their many, many, many gifts and their tremendous blessings to us. We know that we stand on their shoulders for courage, for strength, for knowledge, fortitude, patience, love, wisdom, resilience, and the list goes on and on. Now that we know better, we can do better as we follow the golden wisdom of our ancestors to health and wellness. So we give thanks always, 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 and especially in this present moment. Ashe, 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 O ancestors.
Ashe, O. Ashe, O.
Oof. Well, thank you for joining with us today. And we invite you to kind of eavesdrop on our conversation as we talk about how to change the direction of our lives. And so, audience, you are invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcome, and every voice shall be heard that want to be heard. Our call-in number here is 516-531-9819. You would press 1 on the dial to alert us that you want to speak live or join us live here on air. And to ensure the best quality on our playbacks, because not only do we go back and critique our shows, but some people are not available to listen to us live on at this time slot. And so they go on and pay attention to the rebroadcast. So once your line is open, if you're not speaking, just put your phone on mute. That's all. Nothing, no heavy duty anything. Just put it on mute. And if you ever want to go back to listen to any of our shows, you can do so at www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, SandyRodgers. So that is my part of the introduction. I'm going to now turn it over to my sister, Star.
Thank you, Sandy. Woo-hoo.
Oh, yes, yes.
All right. Hello, listening audience. I am so honored to be here with you today. And before I get into my words of inspiration, I want to share something that was triggered by your acknowledgement and honor to our ancestor, Sandy. And
sure.
You said, when we know better, we do better.
Mm.
And that reminded me of the Sankofa bird. Do you know about the Sankofa bird, Sandy?
I do, but perhaps the listeners do not.
Okay. So the Sankofa bird is an African symbol where they have a carved bird, and the bird's head is turned 180 degrees backwards. And the quote or the affirmation to that bird is, before you can move forward, you must go back to your ancestors, to your past, and fetch the knowledge. This time, more than any time in human history, this is the time to follow that those urgings. Before we can move forward in our lives, we must stop and go back and fetch the ways and the knowledge and the wisdom of our ancestors. It's imperative.
I say.
And I just couldn't go any further forward without bringing that up right now. Sandy, you triggered that for me. So thank you very much.
Thank you for adding that.
Okay. So our words of wisdom today: the finger of God never points to where the hand of God isn't somehow making a way. And that was a quote from Reverend Alvin Kibble. When you have a deep desire to do a thing, do it. The meaning of Zire, meaning father, is the very thing God wants for you. The urging is from the soul and is the only fuel you need. It is a blessing. It lets you know that you have been chosen for a special task. The Creator knows you can and wants you to do or have whatever it is It cannot be too difficult. It is not beyond your reach. It is connected to your soul. That's where all the power is. Trust those urgings. They are the best friends you could have. Learn to move beyond what appears to be the essence you are. Is it a good thing? Will you and others benefit? If so, go for it. Don't let others talk you out of your desire. It is not for them to see or know. They cannot feel it the way you do. Don't expect them to. Nurture your desire in thought, word, and deed. Never doubt it will become your reality. If you do your part, the Father will do his part and guide you to the wellspring of your desire come true. And the affirmation to that is, I can't do it. I am the conduit through which it will be done. Mm. Ashe.
Ashe. Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Very apropos for the times that we're living in right now.
Yes, yes. It's indeed a very powerful time, Star. You know, so I know this conversation between us today is going to be what people need to hear, and probably even more important, it may be, as you just stated, direction for us to take in our next walk when this show is over today. So very appropriate. Very, very appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, I have to admit that when I read it, it screams. Sandy Rogers.
I don't know why I'm screaming my name.
Girl, because you are the I can do it, got it done, came from nowhere, now it's in front of us, done, sister. That's why it screams.
Thank you,
name.
Darling. Thank you.
Yes. In the short amount of time that I have been blessed to know you, and not only know you, but to be in your inner circle, I am still dropping amazed at the things that you pull out of the air and make into reality. And so that piece definitely reminded me of you.
Oh, thanks. That was very, very gracious of you. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that.
Well, I have to also admit it reminded me of me, too.
Okay. I mean, look, it's all good. It's all to the good.
That's right. And as our listeners listened in and heard it, it probably reminded them of themselves.
Hopefully.
So, you know.
Yes.
Yes,
yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a thought becomes a thing, and a thing becomes visualized in front of us. So,
exactly.
As the piece said, don't let anyone tell you that you can't do a thing.
Yep.
If the thought
yeah.
was given to you, then so was the clearance for you to
exactly.
see that through.
Because it comes fully clothed.
So, yes.
Yep.
Yes, it does.
Yep. Fully clothed. And nobody could see the clothes but you. You know, it's like that king that walked around his
his
kingdom
clothes, yeah.
butt naked and wouldn't nobody tell him, you know? It's the same thing. It's the same doggone thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, leave
it
to that. That's a perfect segue. Go ahead, babe.
I wanted to take the time to tell the world who you are.
Okay. I receive. I'll sit back and allow that to happen.
Star Waters, for some reason, want to be this little quiet, in the corner person, and it is totally not her. So let me tell you who she is.
Yeah.
Star Waters was born with the name Anita, and I'm not sure what her maiden name was. Waters is her married name. But she hails from Portland, Oregon. And if you listen to her, when she says Portland, Oregon, you would think that that may be some type of barrier or restriction on what her life experiences would be, could have been, actually were during her upbringing and for her lifetime. But once you get to observe Star and how she moves around and the people that she knows, the courage that she has, the boldness in which she confronts people and situations, you'll quickly come to accept and to acknowledge growing up in getting her roots in Portland, Oregon, provided the richest soil for her to mature into the person that she is today, with such a rich, rich history and such a rich, rich foundation for the work that she does. So, and not in any particular order, but these are some of the attributes that I see and attribute to my girl Star. I call her a social media guru. And it's because she can take a subject and she'll find all the supporting documentation, all the words, all the data, all the pictures, and she'll come up with this just incredible, incredible article that fully supports what she has chosen to write about, and that is truly a gift. A lot of people are still learning how to maneuver certain platforms on social media, and she's an expert. She is masterful at what she does. She's a raw food master chef. And I say master because you know how your mama and them used to get in the kitchen and your grandmama and them, and it seemed like it was nothing in the cabinets. It was nothing in the refrigerator or the ice box or whatever facility that they had to hold the food. It was like everything was bare, right? But by the time you went to sit down for supper or for lunch or for Sunday dinner, here was this feast in front of you, which it's like, where did this come from? Because wasn't none of this in the kitchen just now when I looked. Well, Star does that with raw food. And so you may think that there is absolutely nothing that will be able to be prepared into a delicious food that you can eat. But, oh, my God, I tell you, that is so not the situation. You're going to have you a feast. you'll be licking your fingers in between your fingers and, like, looking at her like, I know you better make some more of this because I want to take some home with me. And she's just a wizard. She's just absolutely a wizard with raw food. She is extremely family-centered. She loves her children. She loves her in-laws. She loves her cousins and everybody she adores and just go wacko-wacko behind her grandchildren. So she is just so fully entrenched with loving on her family. I mean, just, whew, there's nothing like it for her. She can talk to her children for hours and hours and still have more hours to be able to communicate with them. I find her extremely intense when she has set her mind to do something. She lives by example, so if she's telling you that you need to eat raw, it's because she's eating raw. If she's telling you you need to get more exercise in, it's because she's doing 10,000 steps plus, or she's working out at the gym, or she's doing something. But she's not just telling you what to do because she leads by example, and she lives by example. So her neighbors are constantly being impressed and motivated and inspired by her because she's going to get out on a daily basis or more frequently and move her body. Her friendships are held very close to her heart. She is a dear friend to those people that she has given that classification to. She is a powerful sister, and she's got powerful friends, and the friends are always held in a high place of esteem. She enjoys learning. Now, she may be a little intimidated by some of the stuff, but she's going to conquer it. You know, she's going to get it under control. She never withdraws from a challenge. She's going to face it head on. And that could be kind of funny sometimes to watch her tackle some of the things that she is learning to do. But, you know, that's just the way we all, at least she doesn't say, no, I'm not going to do it. She just, she does it, and she finds pleasure in it, especially when she's learned that new skill. And so we were talking earlier about why we stay. And if you happen to have just checked Facebook within the last hour, you'll see that was part of what I put in our description for the show for today. And this is what I know. We're going to actually talk about what got us started, but I know that stars stay on point with this healing because of her family. I know that her daughter's pure life, literally her daughter's life, is a direct reflection of Star's care, love, learning, and dedication to being of the greatest assistance that she can be. Remember, I told you, family comes above everything else, and she stopped her life to go and be there with her daughter. She's dedicated her life to helping to add two new grandbabies to her line, her family lineage, her legacy. And so her family directly benefits from her learning, from her application of what she's learning, and she is constantly on that learning treadmill, I want to call it, because it never stops, never, ever stops. And so with that, I want to introduce to you the Wellness Wizard. My girl.
Girl, I got to give you a standing ovation behind that introduction. Oh, my God. Where'd you pull all that out from?
From you, it's who you are.
Thank you, girl. Gosh, darn it. She hit it on the head. You definitely hit it on the head.
Ma'am, we got to celebrate you.
Yes, indeed. So, to repeat what I said earlier, that spiritual piece first reminded me of you, and then I thought about it and said, well, it sounds like me too. Because once I get something in my head, I'm going to see it through. And I don't even ask anymore, because I have to stop here and say that my birthday is February the 18th. I am born under the sign of Aquarius. And the Aquarians are the visualizers, the visionizers of the zodiac. And we see out as far as 50 years. So many times, Sandy, I do stay mute a lot, because a lot of things that come out of my mouth, most people, they don't see it. They don't understand it. Matter of fact, it meets with a lot of controversy. So I just, a lot of times, I have become a great listener, and I just absorb what people are saying. But to say that you hit it on the nail for me, you did, and gave it back to me in such a clear picture. And I appreciate what you said and the picture that you gave to the world. So thank you very, very much. Thank you.
Thank you for doing the work. It was easy to say those things because you've already done the work, darling.
All right. Well, I tell you what. The one thing you said that was true is them little grandbabies are my heart. I mean, if you come on my face, and I really try not to be that person. I don't carry a bunch of pictures in my wallet, and then, you know, you don't even get a chance to run away before I'm showing you this one and that one and the other. I really try. But, Lord, if you go on my Facebook page, you're going to see my, as my grandmother used to say, you're going to see my grandchildren now. Oh, yes, you are. You're going to see the wonderful things that they do. You're going to see the little cute outfits that they have on and all of that. So being an only child, my children and their children are very, very special and dear to me. So
yes.
You're right.
But tell them why that's so important, though, because your daughter-in-law was what? Before you became active in, really more active in their life, your daughter-in-law was?
My daughter-in-law was over-desiring to have her own children. She loved children, and she was unable to conceive. And I had mentioned to her, when I first got involved with the vegan eating, and then specifically after that, raw food, I had shared with her that if she just gave raw food 90 days, that her fate of not being able to conceive would be behind her. And so many times when people are given that kind of a challenge, it becomes overwhelming. And, you know, as badly as she wanted to have children, the desire wasn't as strong as giving up her milk, giving up her meat, giving up this and that. We all grow used to. And so her and my son went and they did everything that they possibly could. They got both got checked out. And it came come to find out that she was the one that was preventing their family to grow. And the doctor even told her that they should just consider adopting because of her condition that she had. So my daughter got married in Hawaii, and I came to stay with them for about 45 days. And not wanting to push my dietary choices on anyone else, whenever I would make my kale salad and my whatever every day, I would be polite and would ask them if the daughter and my son, if they wanted some. And at first they were like, sure, we'll have some. Well, somewhere in about a week or so, I could barely get it out of my mouth. Yeah, sure, we'll have it. So I just didn't even ask anymore. Whatever I prepared, I made sure that I prepared enough for the three of us. And I stayed with them, like I said, 45 days. In between that, I had gone to Hawaii for about 2 weeks and came back. And then I left. And I had gone to Vegas. And while I was there, there was a couple of messages that I had missed because we were in Death Valley. And when we finally came out of Death Valley, I had gotten a message that said, did you hear about Lynette? And I'm like, oh, no, what about Lynette? Well, on the way to death, I dreamed about Lynette and my son, Fabiti. And I just dreamed about him, and it just was peculiar. But anyway, so now I'm getting these messages. Did you hear about what happened to Lynette? And I'm thinking the worst possible stuff. Oh, my God, was she in a car accident? I mean, just my mind just went crazy. And it was like about an hour before I could actually get down to a place where we could use the phone because, again, we were in Death Valley. It's, you know, no Wi-Fi in Death Valley. So when I finally was able to communicate, a picture was sent over the text, and that picture was of a P-strip thing that said plus, and it was Ronette. So all of that raw food, baby.
Raw food.
Yes. Brought about my little granddaughter, Aria. And the rest of the story to that is that when she went back to that same female doctor that told her she would never have children and that they should just resign to just adopt, the whole 9 months, this woman was scratching her head saying, I just don't understand how this happened.
Oh, well.
I just don't understand how this happened. So that is a proof that eating vegetables is a blessing and a cure to things that are not working well for you. You know, they say,
yes,
if something's not working, try something different.
Yep.
So,
awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I would have never
thought
that.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Thank you so
much. I mean, you know, that's a part of that, how you impact your family. That's that family love, you know, for sharing, because you didn't have to open your mouth. You didn't have to share that with them. You could have just, you know, shook your head and been like, well, you know, she'd only stop doing this or stop doing that. Because, you know, that's how some families operate. They don't share knowledge with one another. You know, they would rather be in a place of, well, I know more than they do, and I'm not going to tell them what I know, kind of, you know, kind of crazy stuff. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important that we share. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, one of the reasons, Sandy, that I got involved in holistic thinking and eventually holistic wellness goes all the way back to 1997 when my husband of 32 years came down with lung cancer. And I had been with this man for 3 decades. And the whole time I had been with him, he had never been sick, ever. Not even a cold. Nothing put him in the bed. Nothing stopped him from his flow. He was always, you know, healthy and vibrant. And then one day I received a phone call from a doctor who was calling from a hospital. My husband was a bus driver, to say that they had removed him from his bus and put him on in an ambulance and had taken him to the doctor, but to the hospital.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
Fast forward, found out that he had lung cancer. And being the positive thinker and, you know, not really thinking that it's going to be serious because he'd never been sick before. And 6 months almost to the day that he received his diagnosis, he succumbed to the lung cancer.
Oh, my God. Hmm.
So in the meantime, I had run across several people that had given me information. I was a lingerie consultant. I did home parties. And so I would go to people's homes and, you know, bring out my little dainty things and present a show. And in the meantime, I would also meet people, formation. And so one of the people that I had gone to their home, the husband had a conversation with me about curing cancer. And he had all kind of methods of which he could use to help to clear cancer away. So once my husband got this diagnosis, I remembered that man. And I had, of course, had the phone number of his wife, so I called him up and asked him if he could give me some information, and he did. And that was my first steps into using herbs and holistic healing. And I jumped in both feet first and just started swimming, but it was either too little or too late or a combination of both because, like I said, 6 months later my husband passed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, because I am family-oriented, my children just lost their dad, and here their surviving parent is me, who has diabetes. I have high blood pressure, and I'm also morbidly obese. And that spells like a very short life, you know, when you look at it. And I saw how my children were hurting from the loss of their father. And I just didn't want to give them a double whammy by something happening to me at that particular time. So all the focus and love that I put toward my husband, I turned it around and put that focus and love on myself and my health. And then I became my own guinea pig. And that was how the wellness continued in my life.
Awesome.
So.
It's a beautiful story.
Fast forward.
So,
oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward to this day, I have lost half of my body weight. I went from a very tight, size 24. Probably the men won't know anything about that, but it's big. I went from a size tight 24 down to a size 8. The diabetes has been reversed, and the blood pressure, high blood pressure, has been normalized. And that's all a direct benefit from the diet that I chose to follow. Plant-based, whole food, cooked and raw.
What a testimony. Awesome.
Thank you. So it works. It definitely
works. Yeah, it does.
Works.
Yes, it does. And so also, Star, share with the audience some of the places that you worked while you lived in Portland. How did you get, you know, the various knowledge points that you've learned along the journey?
Oh, okay. I became a volunteer with the American Diabetes Association, and then I worked for an organization called the Neighborhood Clinics Association, where I took on the role as a community outreach advocate. From that, I worked with several doctors as their advocate, their patient home advocate, where I would go accompany their diabetic patients to their doctor's appointments and kind of be in between, translate what the doctor said to them and translate from the patient what they were trying to say to the doctor. I worked for the Multnomah County Health Department. I worked for the State of Oregon Health Department. I was a consultant for Cancer Society, the Susan G. Komen Association. Oh, wow. Oh, I even did a 2-hour presentation for the School of the Blind that was sent all over the Northwest, including Alaska. Wow. I work with a lot of organizations, a lot. Of course, I don't have them in front of me now, but quite a few, and they were all around health and wellness. Oh, and the Cancer Society as well.
Okay.
So I worked with the University of Oregon State University, which I might add, now that I'm here in Atlanta, some of the cutting edge things that are going on are traced back to the University of Oregon Health Department or University. I mean, they are cutting edge with wellness and health. And I'm proud to be a part of that. I'm part that I'm happy to be one of the ones that was chosen to stand up and speak, not only for myself but for my community, and bring back information to the community.
Awesome.
So I've had a very rich beginning with some very reputable organizations.
All righty.
So now, who have I worked with since I've been? First of all, let me just say this. When I was in Portland, Oregon, because I want to break this down, I want people to see the transition and also see how things moved in a upward status for me. So when I was in Portland, I was in the health field. When I came to Atlanta, I crossed over to the wellness field. And that's very, very different. The health model, illness. The wellness model heals the illness. And that was such a mind-blowing evolution for me. When I was in Portland, Oregon, I went to a raw food. It was a, international raw food festival. And one of the speakers there, and it was like 4 days. So I went and camped out like a hippie, okay? 4 days of listening to people I didn't know because I was in a new area, raw food. But now when I look back, all these people are huge. They were probably huge then, but I had no recollection. I didn't know them. Their names meant nothing to me. But one of the speakers really took my heart, and I purchased her book. Her name was Brenda Cobb. And Brenda, in her book and in her presentation, spoke about how she had a healing business or clinic or institute in Atlanta, and how people came to Atlanta all over the world to be healed from, you know, chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, lupus. I mean, the list can just go on and on. At that time, I was still fighting the diabetes and the high blood pressure. And it really opened my eyes because with my association with places like the American Diabetes Association and all those other wonderful healing institutions or health institutions, I should say, those kind of things you just live with till you die. You know, hey, sorry. And not only do you just live with them, but you also must live with the complications, which are many, that you will receive and get until you close your eyes. Then I come to Atlanta, and I hear a different model, a different way of thinking about reversing and healing. And, you know, I don't know who says curing, because people try not to say that word, but let's just throw that out there, curing. And so I got here, I realized, wait a minute, that lady that I saw, Brenda Cobb, her place is here. And eventually from like several different people that lived here kept saying, come, why don't you come? Come and volunteer. And I finally met someone that gave me the person whom to speak to come and volunteer. And that's when I met Sandy. And from that point on until now, boy, has it been a ride, ladies and gentlemen. And it wasn't until about a year and a half after being at the Living Foods Institute, working with amazing people like Sandy Rogers and Carla DeRosa, that I realized, hey, I can't believe this. I wanted to come like back in 2000, and here I am being a part of this wonderful healing institution. And that's when I went from being a health advocate to being a wellness advocate. And it's a big difference. Hello?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. So
and there really is a huge difference between health and wellness. It's the approach, and I think it's the expectation as well, Star. You know, like, health want to manage and maintain whatever it is mm-hmm. that you have, and wellness teaches you that your body can overcome whatever that limitation that's been put on you by the identification of the symptoms. So, yeah, there's a unique difference between those two.
Absolutely. And we're all so very accustomed to and used to the health model. You know, their motto is to, well, I won't say their motto, but their charge is to just keep you comfortable while you're maintaining your illness.
Exactly.
And I mean, that's all good. That's all good if that's what you want. But I think that we as citizens, and we're also called patients because we patiently wait for the doctor to practice, and that's the practicing physician on us, until we get well. And so we keep asking that same question every time we get a new diagnosis, and the medication that accompanies that diagnosis. So, doctor, how long will I have to be on this medication?
The rest
and the
of your
answer,
life.
There you go. Without fail.
Yep,
that's your answer. And so it was extremely powerful and validating for me to know that we, each of us, has healing in our own power. Because really our bodies want to be well. They want to live optimally. All they need from us is just the way to do it. We've got to take the first step toward the body taking the step to us. Just like that piece I read earlier, you know, if we take the step towards what it is our goals or our thoughts are, God will take the next step to make sure that it's done. Can't be any other way. But we first must believe in our own healing power.
That's true. That's true. The thought precedes everything.
Yes. So, you know, make it happen, Captain.
Yep.
What is your wish desire? What do you want to see the outcome from this diagnosis? Not
or do
you
even want to accept that diagnosis?
Yes, that's very good too. Mm-hmm. Because I also heard someone say that when doctors do diagnosis, they are affirming. So they're doing affirmations on our life.
That's true.
And if we are in agreement with that, where two or more come together, we're making it happen. We're seeing that it manifest.
Well, how often do you hear people say, my diabetes, my sugar, my blood pressure, my, and they're claiming it, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, guess what? It's time everyone to know who Sandy Rogers is.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I want to know that chickaroni.
Sandy Rogers, please. Please do not judge the package by the size. This woman, Reverend Sandy Rogers, master gardener, Reiki master, holistic wellness practitioner, has, diplomas in every discipline where it comes to wellness. Who is a child advocate, who in her neighborhood in Watts gathered people together for a particular cause. I can't remember what it was now, but she and her brother gathered all these people together to make change happen. These are children. She's always been a person who stands up for rights of others, rights for herself, and is vocal. She speaks what is on her mind and then says nothing. And the next thing you know, bam, it's there. It's manifested. I had a conversation with Sandy about 3 years ago about how there are so many wellness webinars that are presented several times a year, and how all of the speakers, all of the wellness experts seemingly are all white, Caucasian, of a different persuasion than us. And they may have one or two people of color. Maybe they'll have Ayala Van Zandt, and maybe they'll have Dr. Michael Bettworth, but primarily they're all white. And so we talked about it, and we talked and started naming some of the people that we know in Atlanta that, you know, certainly could be part of a wellness webinar. No more was said about it. Next thing I know, Sandy has the thing going. She now is learning how to do filming, production. Not only has she come up with people in Atlanta, but she's come up with people all over the United States and even in other parts of the world. 60 in total. And the wellness webinar, the life, love, the life, love, and wellness webinar, international, worldwide, is about to explode on the world. And it just all came from a conversation. And Sandy, I tell you, that was my eye-opening to the power. Don't judge a package by the size, because, girl, you about the size of a refrigerator, okay? And when it's finally open, it is miraculous, marvelous, and unforgettable. So Sandy grew up in Los Angeles, and she is one of 6 children, Sandy?
Correct.
6 children. Her sister, and then 4 other brothers. And if I were to ask Sandy who her role model is, without hesitation, she would say it was her mother. Her mother always spoke healing herbs and wellness to Sandy. And by example of how she herself lived her life. So Sandy brought all of her mother's wisdom, all of her mother's determination to self-heal. She brought all of that to this project of the wellness webinar. And I was so moved that she gave her mother that honor by having her mother and she in the beginning of the webinar. So Sandy is a raw food chef. She's into plant-based, whole food. She's an instructor. As I said before, she's a master gardener. She is involved in so many different organizations, and everybody loves Sandy. She'll walk in the room, everyone knows her. The scope and the amount of people that Sandy has drawn onto her is flabbergasting. And all she has to do is pick up a phone, send out a text, and these amazing people come to do whatever Sandy wants them to do. So, Sandy Rogers, I know I've left out a lot, but I want to just give our audience just a little peek of what I think of you. You are, oh, there's one other thing I want to add. When I met Sandy at the Living Truth Institute, Sandy was one of the instructors there. Boy, I wanted to start calling her Sergeant Sandy. I mean, she got the troops in line quickly, I'm telling you. And if we did, like, have some sidebars, you know, like in between, you know, the speakers or whatever, whenever Sandy entered the room, the people would buck up and stand tall. Sandy, the Sergeant Rogers, you know how to demand and command respect. And I love you for that.
Thank you, Star. And it's funny because, you know, I had no clue as to that's how I was perceived. But I guess it comes from being smack in the middle of two older brothers and two younger brothers and a sister that bullied me my whole life, right? And she bullied me with love. She was just trying to toughen me up. But it has to be from that. I mean, because I just think that I still think that that's hilarious, you know, that people would do that or say that or feel that way. But, you know, I don't fight it because with that, you know, look, the job do get done. And as you were talking about the wellness webinar, I remember I owned – a modeling company in Los Angeles, in South Central Los Angeles, and it was the same reason that Star is talking about, that the wellness webinar was convened. It was because there were no agencies that dealt with the inner city youth in Los Angeles at that time, and so I had learned from another agency in Los Angeles the ins and outs of the modeling industry and things like that. So it was kind of an expansion from what I had learned. And when the Rodney King riots hit, so it was on a major street in Los Angeles, in South Central. It was on Vermont Avenue and between Florence and Manchester, which was a lot of merchants, a lot of businesses, and different places that community frequented and that sustained the community. Well, when the riots were over, most of that was burned to the ground, like there was smoke left in its place. But I had all of these children that lived in this community now that didn't have the wherewithal. Their families didn't have the resources to pull together a Christmas, right, for the children. And I just felt it was put upon me to do that. And so I set out and I talked to various stores in close vicinity to where we were about providing toys for the children and stockings and fruits and nuts, you know, to fill the stockings. And I went to the restaurants that remained, the fast food places, and asked them to donate, you know, food. And so what I came to find out in that process is that there's a certain time frame that you have to give places. The very, very minimal is that they needed 6 weeks for your request so that that they can approve it and it could go all up and down the corporate or whatever and whatever before they could agree to make a donation. And I'm like, but that's not the time that we're living in. We don't have 6 weeks. Nobody told the riots to break out in enough time so that when it was all over and we saw that nothing was left in our community, that it had to be at least 6 weeks so we can go about trying to, you know, change the outcome for the children in the community. And, you know, some would be like, oh, well, that's, you know, we can't help that. We can't, we got to do how corporate. I say, no problem. I say, because at the end of this thing, there will be a press release, and the community will know which businesses supported what we're doing and which ones did not. And I, you know, and I guess that was the sergeant in me, but eventually everybody that I approached made some type of donation to our project. And the kids had so much food and toys and stockings that they had enough to share with other children on their block. And so it was like, you know, feeding the masses with a one loaf and two fish. You know, it was just incredible. And I remember the lady that worked with me extremely closely, Vicki McKinney, and she said, Sandy, I have been in church 2 or 3 days a week for the majority of my life, and I have never seen anyone move forward with their vision with as much faith as you've demonstrated. I've never seen faith demonstrated before, and you've done that. And so that story just kind of really came up in my memory, Star, as you were talking about the wellness webinar, because it was, I never considered that I couldn't do it, you know. So I think that's what makes the difference, you know. It's like when one of my younger brothers, Rudy, was killed as he was walking across the street near where he lived, and a guy that was high on PCP and whatever else, and liquor and weed and what all he had in his system, ran into my brother, knocked him up into the air, and he literally flew for like a block before he landed, you know, on the street. And by him running into my brother, it made his car swerve, and he ran into what we call here in Atlanta strip mall. He ran into one of those, and his car, he had a passenger, a female passenger, and she was also killed in this deadly accident, and he was able to get up and walk away. My brother, his spirit was so, I mean, he was the life of life, you know, not, you know how you hear that terminology, the life of the party. Well, he wasn't just the life of the party, he was the life of life. Everybody, all the people within his network, I mean, they saw him on a regular basis. Plus, he held down a job, and it was just amazing to me how he was able to accomplish, you know, life the way that he did. And so he was always my role model for staying in contact with people. And I remember after he died, someone, it may have even been my sister, said, have you seen Dennis? And Dennis was one of my brother's closest friends. And actually him and his mom had bought the three-story house that my mother and stepfather had occupied at the time that, you know, all of this transpired, and they were not able to stay in the house anymore because it reminded them too much of my brother Rudy. And so Dennis and his mom bought the house, and my mother and stepfather, they moved way out into the country area of Palmdale, which is the desert in between L.A. and Vegas. And so they moved out there. But someone asked me, had I seen Dennis? And I was like, no, I hadn't seen him. And then I remembered Rudy, right? And I was like, oh, my God, Rudy would have been to see him. Rudy would know what was going, what was happening with him and anybody else. You know, everybody in his life always knew, you know, that Rudy would stop by at some point in time to check on them. And so I made it over. No, I kept trying to call Dennis, and I kept leaving a message. This was before the cell phone days, you know, and stuff like that. And so I finally was able to get through to Dennis and told him I wanted to come by to see him. And he was very hesitant, you know. He was like, okay, all right. I say, look, I said, you ain't going to have Rudy beating up on me. So I'm not going to be able to sleep if I don't come and see you. So I went to the house and pulled up. His mom answered the door, and I said, oh, I'm here to see Dennis. I said, you remember me? I'm Rudy's youngest sister, you know. And she's like, yeah, I remember you. I said, well, I'm here to see Dennis, you know, and I'm all excited because I'm honoring my younger brother, you know, by being over there with his close friend. And Dennis would give some of the most elaborate parties ever. I mean, that boy knew how to throw a party, man. And so, you know, I had been to his parties, you know, and stuff like that, but I hadn't seen him in quite a while. So there was this massive stairway, like, in that front foyer. And so Dennis is moving down these stairs just at a snail's pace, just, you know, very deliberate from one stair to the next stair to the next stair. And I'm like, wow, he really is sick, you know. So this is going through my head. So I walked over to the bottom of the stair from the front door to wait until he made it all the way down. He was always a slender person. He wasn't, you know, a huge guy, or probably not even a medium-sized guy. He was always kind of slender. But he was even less meaty, I'm going to say, this particular time when I saw him. So by the time he got all the way down to the bottom, I just grabbed him, you know, and I'm just hugging on him. I'm like, oh, my God, it's so good to see you. It's so good to see you. And he was like, ouch, ouch. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, is it too tight? Am I hurting you? You know, I'm sorry. He's like, no, but just keep doing it. Just keep doing it, right? So I was like, oh, my God, is this what you call a glutton for punishment or what, right? So we made it to the couch, and by this time I had taken every little ounce of energy out of him, and so he wanted to lay down. So I was like, well, lay your head in my lap, you know, and let's just talk, you know. I'm just so glad to be here with you. And, you know, Rudy would beat me up if he would have known that I hadn't come by to see you. And so we kind of talked about Rudy for a little while. And I say, so tell me what's wrong. And he looked at me, and he was like, do I have to, you know? Ugh. And I'm like, well, no, you know, if you don't want to. And he's like, no, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. He said, well, right now I'm in full-blown AIDS, and my life expectancy is not long, but the reason why I did not reach out to anybody is that I had started sharing it with my family members. And as I would tell my family that I had HIV and that it had developed into AIDS, that my family members stopped speaking, would not accept any of my calls, had nothing to say to me. He said, and that was so painful that I made a conscious decision that I would not tell anybody else because I did not want to lose anybody else out of my life.
Oh, wow.
And I promised him,
wow,
right there on that couch with his head in my lap, I said, Dennis, I will never, ever turn my back on anybody for any reason, but particularly if they are experiencing HIV or AIDS. I made that promise, Star. And that was, had to be the early 80s. It was when there was no medication, and the medication that they had come up with, the AZT, it healed the white man, but it killed the black man. The same dosage with the same type of physical makeup of a person. And so I got to Atlanta in 95. By the grace of God, I found Hillside with Dr. Barbara King, with a very open and receptive ministry, New Thought. And from there, I believe is where I started meeting these influential individuals that you're talking about. I don't know, but they came across my path because they were ordained to do that. And I remember after I left Hillside, because I served in several leadership positions, managerial positions over there. And once I left the church, Dr. Barbara told me I had graduated. So once it was time for me to move on, I was called by the HIV/AIDS ministry leader at Hillside, Reverend James Subar, to come and speak with his group at Atlanta Interfaith AIDS Network. And within that organization, there was a support group called Common Ground. And my first visit with them was in like April of 2004 or 2005, one of the two. And I fell in love with the people, just fell in love. And I remembered my promise to Dennis from 20 years earlier, what I had told him. I stayed with that organization. I volunteered. I served on the board of a number of HIV and AIDS organizations here in Atlanta. I was on the board with Sister Love, which dealt with the women who are impacted and affected, reproductive health justice coalition and that part of the whole movement. And it seemed like one day I looked up and I knew all the head players here in Atlanta. And I supported all the events. I'm still being called by the individuals from Common Ground, from the different AIDS ministries and the AIDS organizations. And I developed programs for the churches because during that that time, people were deathly afraid and ignorant of the causes of transmission of the disease, and families were still ousting their children, their loved ones, out into homelessness on the streets because they didn't understand. And you know what this illness was and the impact it would have, but they were dealing in fear, which kind of brings me to the day's situation, but
yes.
I'm gonna stay with the HIV and AIDS. And so we have this thing going on about not knowing, not learning, not being fully educated on the medical ramifications of whatever name they give
mm-hmm.
something, and we go into fear, and we
yeah.
start distancing ourselves from each other. Like, I loved you yesterday, but I didn't know you had HIV yesterday, so you got to get out. Don't touch nothing. God damn it, don't touch
yeah.
nothing up in this place and throw everything
mm-hmm.
out. Wash it with
mm-hmm.
Purex, you know, and just all kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that like it was just yesterday.
Yeah.
And we're not doing the same doggone thing all over again with this Rona thing. You know, there has to come a time when we can relate to each other from a place of compassion and passion, understanding, and not fear. I'm not saying
yes,
that,
yes.
you know, the steps that are being mandated are right or wrong. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we as a people, all colors, I ain't leaving nobody out of this. We all need to educate ourselves on what's going on. And if we don't know the answers, then maybe what we're being told ain't correct. That's all I'm saying.
Mm.
Like,
okay.
don't just drink the Kool-Aid and be like, oh, I need a little bit more sugar in it. Uh-uh. We got to figure this thing out. We got to treat each other with a sense of urgency that's rooted in respect and honor for everybody. Everybody.
Ooh. Yes, yes.
Everybody.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Oh, Sandy, that's a beautiful
Thank
story.
You.
And, you know, based from the love that you had for your brother, whereas my journey is the love that I had for my husband and my children, not wanting them to be orphaned. So both of our stories are so family-driven. Because family is what touches our hearts the fastest and the deepest. You know, it just doesn't
Indeed.
Go away.
Yep. Well,
wow.
you know, I was misdiagnosed. Or I'm just going to stay with misdiagnosed, with some incurable stuff. And I took medicine the first time around back in the early 70s, I believe it was. Yeah. And for an ulcer that supposedly I had. And I took it starved faithfully, like the doctor told me, even with my mama, you know, telling us about don't get hooked on the prescription stuff because you don't know what's in it, blah de blah de blah. I took that stuff until it started coming out of my skin pores. I was, I had diarrhea, I was vomiting, and I had the stuff coming out of my skin look like mercury out of a thermometer. It was the metal in the medication. The medication was called Tagamet, T-A-G-A-M-E-T. The M-E-T stood for metal. I poisoned my own body by believing Dr. Hershey, God rest his soul.
Yeah,
he thought he was
out.
Doing what was best for me by giving me this new miracle drug that had just hit the market. The second time I was misdiagnosed was 1999, and the doctor told me I had Crohn's and that Crohn's would kill me if I didn't take the pills that she gave me, but I kept telling her the pills were making me sick. it didn't matter. You got to get used to it. Take twice as many then. Don't. I told you one, take two. Take them twice, you know. I know, no. And I was like, oh, no, 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 baby girl, we ain't doing this one again. No, no, no.
You done been down this road before.
Been down that road. I'm not having nothing else come out of my body like that, you know. And so, and I think 99, I know for sure, 99 leading into 2000, man, I just was like, nah, things have got to change. It's got to change. And that's when I really, really buckled down and took very seriously what my mama had been telling me all my life. And not that I hadn't practiced, you know, prior to that, but it was even more with a vengeance. And, and my sister died from getting hooked on steroids at a young adult age from some juvenile asthma or something crazy that they told her. But see, that steroid, that prednisone, that crap right there, and they'll prescribe that for anything from a bee sting to a diaper rash. You know, take prednisone. And that stuff was worse than the street drugs. And my sister was hooked like a junkie. You know, she was hooked like a junkie. And it tore her body up. Her liver failed, her kidneys failed, her lungs failed. It was just ripping her to shreds. And so, you know, in honor of my sister, who was a most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful soul and spirit, and my mom, who just wanted us to learn a different way to do things, that webinar came off with their encouragement, with their backing, and with them holding me up on them days where I didn't know what I was doing. They wouldn't be like,
God,
come on, girl, you can't give up now. You already put it out here. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. And so their energy
you
from the other
beast.
Side, because my mom died like 3 months. No, she died about 9 months, I guess, before the webinar actually came off. So she died in November of 17, and the webinar debuted June 21st, 2018, so about 7 months. But she was right there. She was so proud of me, and
She had
thank
every
you, Mama.
Right to be. I mean, Sandy, you were like the wizard. You was pulling stuff out the bag and revealing stuff, and things wouldn't work, and you go and sit down for a minute, think about it, and next thing I know, you done found some expert or somebody that comes in to save the day. It's like,
I know, girl, and I'll be like, oh, my God, especially I got to give a big shout-out to Ed Phelps. Because this brother saw the website that we were trying to roll with, and he was like, oh, no, I can't let my girl go down in defeat like that. Let me come in and build you a website. I mean, oh, my God, just absolutely, absolutely incredible. But we are about out of time, and, man, this has been such a pleasant trip down memory lane. And Star, I thank you for the introduction and for allowing me to share in your world and the things that you do and the things that you bring to the universe. And together, you know,
we've been on quite a journey.
Yeah, we have.
Being on television together on the news, we've done it. I mean, just this hour and a half wasn't enough time.
No, it wasn't, and we should have known that from the jump. But look, you guys, we're down to two seconds. We love you, and we'll see you next Thursday, same time. Thank you for being with us, and perhaps we will continue.
Yes.
this discussion and leave room for you to be able to ask us questions. We love you, but we got to go because we're out of time. Good night.
Bye.
Goodbye. Thanks, Star.
Thanks, Sandy.